the headlines. Leader of the Islamic Revolution announces, quote, inflation control and growth in production as a slogan of the new Iranian year. A group of Palestinian prisoners go on hunger strike in protest against inhumane treatment in Israeli jails. And the European Union and the U.S. have announced new shipments of weapons and military equipment for Ukraine. Hello and welcome from our headquarters in Tehran. Thank you for joining us. My name is Gisu Misha Ahmadi and these are our top stories this hour. Leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, addressing people in the holy city of Mashhad and Imam Reza's holy shrine. The leader pointed out to several different issues, most of the important issues pertaining to the previous year. He did start with the economy, which, according to him, is the most important issue right now. The fact that the Iranian economy should not be dependent on the dollar is one thing that he definitely insisted on. And also, he did point to the fact that there have been bitter and sweet moments in the Iranian economy. He did point to the fact that it is necessary to boost production. And also, touching on certain political issues, he did point to the fact that it is very important for Iran to maintain the political relationships that it has with the countries that are dealing with Iran right now. He did point to the war in Ukraine and the fact that it has been said that the war was started by other countries other than the U.S., but according to the leader, it was the U.S. that started this war by expanding NATO eastward, which was something that the U.S. was warned about not to do. We'll be bringing you more details regarding the leader's speech later in our news bulletins. Leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, in a video message to mark the Persian New Year, has announced the slogan of the new year as, quote, inflation control and growth in production. Ayatollah Khamenei said there were sweet and bitter episodes in relation to the economy in the previous Iranian year. The leader said that the bitterness mainly had to do with inflation, especially of foodstuff and other essentials that put the lower strata of the society under pressure. However, Ayatollah Khamenei noted that there were also positive economic steps. These, the leader said, should lead to improvement in the livelihoods of people and also through accurate planning. The leader also called on officials to focus on investment as a serious need. Ayatollah Khamenei said the entire picture calls for attention to production as a key rescue of the country from economic problems, including inflation. Iran's president has also declared combating inflation and achieving sustainable economic growth as his administration's main goal in the year ahead. Ebrahim Raisi also recounted the achievements of his administration in the past year. He said that Iran saw a rise in production and a record decline in unemployment. On foreign policy, Raisi said that the administration pursued a balanced diplomacy, meaning that Iran did not wait for other countries which were unsure about ties. He said Iran also followed a policy to revive regional and neighborly relations. The Iranian president said the country enjoys a strategic and unrivaled position in the region, and the administration plans to tap into that capacity. Raisi also said one of the features of the New World Order is the shift of power to sprawling Asian continent, and the U.S. is seeing a decline in its role and hegemony, that is, in the world. And as we have told you, people in Iran and several other countries are celebrating the Persian New Year, known as Nowruz. Iranians nationwide are marking this blissful occasion with family gatherings. It's a period that children in particular look forward to because senior family members hand out money, which symbolizes prosperity and wealth. Many people have also gathered at holy shrines to commemorate the event. The millennia-old tradition is also celebrated in Iraq, Afghanistan, Azerbaijan, Tajikistan, and Turkey, among other countries. Nowruz marks the beginning of spring in the Northern Hemisphere. The United Nations has recognized March 21st as the International Day of Nowruz. And people in Afghanistan are marking the second Nowruz under the Taliban rule amid economic woes. They are welcoming the new year with the hope of positive changes and prosperity in their war-torn country. Rahmatullah Baghban reports.
Afghanistan has been celebrating Nowruz, the Persian New Year, for centuries. It is usually a colorful and joyous festival, welcoming spring and a new life. But the celebration has been dampened since the Taliban's takeover in 2021 and the subsequent economic hardships. Nowruz is no longer an official holiday in Afghanistan. However, the Taliban authorities say they won't prevent people from celebrating the festival.
Our country needs working days rather than a lot of holidays. Nowruz won't be celebrated by the Islamic Emirate, nor is it an official holiday. But we won't stop people from what they do on this day either. However, we will instruct them to act by Islamic law and our values.
Despite challenges, many Afghans are determined to keep their spirits high and enjoy the Nowruz festivities. They dress up in new clothes and visit their relatives and friends. Afghan families also prepare special dishes such as hafsin, samanak, and fish. Many others plant trees and flowers to signify growth and prosperity. All in all, Afghans hope for a better year ahead, one that brings peace and joy to their war-torn country.
Nowruz is our ancestral tradition. It has been passed down to us from generation to generation. Nowruz means a new beginning, and its message is that we should let go of the past and begin a new year with new resolutions.
Nowruz brings us joy and blessing. It's reflecting the rebirth of nature and renewal of sprites. I hope God blesses this year with peace and prosperity. We look forward to witnessing the end of instability and chaos in our country.
Afghan people say they still find joy and meaning in their traditions and culture. For them, Nowruz is more than just a festival. It's a way of life that celebrates your heritage and resilience. Nowruz is a time of joy and the promise of good days to come. Wishing you a happy and prosperous new year. Rahmatullah Baghban, Kabul.
A group of Palestinian prisoners have gone on hunger strike in protest against inhumane treatment in Israeli jails. Some 2,000 prisoners are also set to join the hunger strike on Wednesday. The action is aimed at drawing attention to the violations of their basic rights in Israeli detention centers. The inmates are denied access to basic medical care and are frequently subjected to systematic torture. A vast majority of Palestinians are held in Israeli jails without charge or trial. The regime uses the policy to hold them behind bars indefinitely, simply under the pretext that they plan to commit an offense. And head of Iran's Strategic Council on Foreign Relations has visited Syria. He met the Syrian officials and delivered a lecture on regional and international developments. Our correspondent, Mohammed Ali, has the details.
On Monday, head of Iran's Strategic Council on Foreign Relations, Kamal Karazi, met Syria's Foreign Minister Faisal al-Maqdad in Damascus and discussed regional and international developments, renewing Tehran's support for the Syrian people, army, and government. Karazi then delivered a lecture at Al-Assad Library. He said the Ukrainian conflict will lead to a new world order. He noted that the U.S. and its allies failed in their campaign to defeat Syria, asserting their intervention killed millions of people and spread extremism. Karazi said the West was willing to reconcile with President Assad if Syria had cut relations with Iran, hailing the joint policy of resistance between Damascus and Tehran.
The power of a country is expressed by its capabilities and steadfastness against pressures. This fact has been interpreted by the policy of resistance adopted by Iran and Syria across half of a century. This sparked hostilities from Israel and the West. The joint Syrian-Iranian experience proves that the main factor behind power is being able to resist international hegemony and confront arrogant world powers' greedy policies.
It's difficult today to find a state that shares similar policies with Syria. The common point that brings Syria and Iran together is supporting Palestine. Syria and Iran almost share identical viewpoints in all subjects.
Karazi clarified that the Iranian diplomacy is aimed at enhancing Iran's national security and defense capabilities. He stressed that Iran did not make the mistake made by regional countries of being reliant in their security on others. On the recent Iranian-Saudi talks, Karazi stressed that dialogue is capable of solving all problems without any foreign intervention.
Iran considers Saudi Arabia a big and influential country in the Islamic world. None of the two states should ignore the other. Both the states should use their capabilities to enhance regional security. Adopting cooperation and increasing dialogue instead of confrontation will end all crises without any foreign intervention.
The top official called for the withdrawal of illegal foreign troops from Syria. He expressed Iran's support to forming a strong government in Lebanon. He asserted that Israel's main goal is to destabilize the region, affirming Iran will continue to confront such efforts.
Iran's foreign policy has been a key boon to creation of balanced strategies to deal with regional challenges based on dialogue. Karazi reiterated during his visit that Syrian-Iranian relations have set an example of a successful alliance and resistance against U.S. and Western hegemony. Hamad Ali, Damascus.
Pro-Syria sit has been held in Rome and in a number of capitals across the world as part of a campaign called End the Siege. The initiative was in solidarity with Syrian people who are suffering from sanctions imposed on their country by the West.
On Saturday, sit-ins were held in several countries across the world as part of a campaign aimed at denouncing the devastating effects of the sanctions imposed by the U.S. and the European Union on Syria. The initiative, named End the Siege, has been joined by organizations based in a dozen countries, including Jordan, Palestine, Lebanon, the UK, Germany and Canada. Italy's sit-in was held in Rome in front of the Colosseum, where members of the No War Network and the U.S. Citizens for Peace and Justice denounced how U.S. and EU sanctions have devastated Syria's economy and led to immense human suffering.
Syria is greatly suffering the consequences of the criminal sanctions imposed by our governments, particularly after the earthquake that hit that country over a month ago. The question about being excluded from assistance is growing, and I believe it is a scandal that the EU can't act independently, but it has to always submit to the US diktat.
Demonstrators at the sit-in said that the U.S. must leave Syria and stop profiting from Syrian oil and wheat that has exacerbated the poverty in the country. Italy and Syria once maintained a robust relationship, but in 2012, 1 year after the Syrian conflict, Rome joined its Western allies in closing its embassy in Damascus. 7 years later, in 2019, when Italy had an anti-establishment government under the leadership of the Five Star Movement and the Northern League, it appeared that Rome was mulling over normalizing relations with Damascus and reopening its embassy there. However, something went wrong.
It happened that the then government was under enormous pressure, particularly by the United States. Everybody knows that Italy is a country with limited sovereignty. Washington demanded Rome to stop liaising with Damascus the same way it has forced Italy to join the war in Ukraine. One third of Syria is today occupied by American soldiers, and the U.S.'s thefts of Syrian oil, natural gas, and other mineral resources have led to energy shortages.
We're here today because this is the 20th anniversary of the invasion and occupation of Iraq by United States troops. They still have a NATO contingent. 1,000 Italian troops are leading the contingent. to rob the oil from northeast Iraq, impoverish the Iraqis, and send the oil to Turkey, Israel, and clients of the United States.
The February 6th earthquake has further worsened the already deteriorating economy and humanitarian situation in Syria. According to UN sources, even before the earthquake tragedy, 70% of the population needed humanitarian assistance due to the war in the country and the US-EU sanctions. Max Civili, Rome.
The European Union and the US have announced new shipments of weapons and military equipment to Ukraine. A group of 17 EU members plus Norway say they have agreed on a 2 billion euro plan to deliver artillery rounds and other ammunition to Ukraine over the next year. This comes after the EU foreign policy chief called on member countries to provide Kiev with 1 million artillery rounds, including from their own stockpiles. The US government has also separately announced a new package of weapons and equipment to Ukraine worth $350 million. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said that these include patrol boats and heavy fuel tankers. The U.S. and the European Union have announced tens of billions of dollars in military aid to Ukraine since the start of the war a year ago. This, despite warnings against Western intervention in the crisis. An independent review shows London's Metropolitan Police is institutionally racist, misogynistic, and unable to police itself. The review was commissioned in 2021 after a serving officer was sentenced to life in prison for the rape and murder of a woman. The case of subsequent crimes against women turned the focus on the force's work culture. The review found severe failings across London Metropolitan Police, saying it needs, quote, radical reform. The 360-page report said the force needs a strong leadership, a women's protection service, and a new children's strategy, among other recommendations for reform. In 1999, an inquiry into the murder of a black teenager had also revealed institutional racism within the force. And that brings us to the end of this edition of World News. Stay tuned.
Bustle of life. The sound of living. Only sound will endure. IRIB English Radio.
The second largest bank failure in the United States history was like a pipeline rupture, interrupting the flow of capital. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. According to Truthout, Silicon Valley Bank, SVB, was shut down by regulators on March 10, 2023, after account holders, wary of the bank's stability, began quickly withdrawing their money. Its collapse constitutes the second largest bank failure in the history. Described as the backbone of a tech industry dominated by white men, SVB served tech companies and their venture capitalists in the early stages of business development and growth. SVB financed the risky tech ventures that other private banks were unable or unwilling to underwrite. The bank run and swift collapse of SVB, an institution with more than $200 billion in assets, caused regulators and pundits to discuss concerns about contagion, a term commonly used in banking to describe the concern that one bank's failure could expose their other financial institutions to losses and lead to wider problems in the economy. The Washington Post, Bloomberg News, and Reuters all ran headlines that used this word. But the idea of an invasion might be a more useful metaphor. In their 2020 article in South Atlantic Quarterly, indigenous author and environmental activist Winona LaDuke and geography scholar Deborah Cowan write that energy infrastructures constitute the contemporary spine of the settler colonial nation. Pipelines are invasive infrastructure that extract oil and gas from the ground, transporting and eventually converting these resources into the energy that technology companies and venture capitalists, among other, use to amass wealth. The failure of SVB is akin to a ruptured pipeline. Any particular pipeline might be more or less prone to leakages and ruptures that contaminate surrounding ecosystems. Yet all pipelines are part of a network of invasive infrastructure that is designed to extract and dispossess. This infrastructure violates native nation sovereignty, breaks treaty agreements, pushes indigenous peoples from their ancestral lands, and harms the earth for the purpose of accumulating wealth. In a 2018 article documenting indigenous resistance to energy infrastructures, indigenous scholar Anne Spice describes how governments designate oil and gas pipelines as critical to the functioning of racial capitalism. Consequently, the governments use this designation to apply their full apocalyptic force against anything that blocks these pipelines. This includes violently removing indigenous water protectors and land defenders that interrupt resources from being extracted and converted into energy. Any ruptured pipeline must be quickly restored to keep energy and capital flowing. Contagion implies contamination, the spreading of disease, invasion, or the invasive infrastructure of private finance infers a violent occupation. SVB's failure threatened to interrupt the flow of capital. Recently, the Department of Treasury of the United States, Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve System, and Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, FDIC, made a joint announcement outlining plans to fully protect all depositors. Most of SVB's customer deposits were reportedly uninsured. $152 billion uninsured deposits out of $173 billion as of December 2022. FDIC insurance is the government's guarantee to replace account holders' money up to $250,000 if a bank fails. Though, in practice, this cap is often more a facade than a fixed limit. SVB had 37,466 accounts whose average $4.2 million balance exceeded the FDIC threshold. As a comparison for the scale at which an individual person qualifies for the same kind of relief, lower-income people with bank accounts had a median cash balance, if any, of $1,300 in 2021. And this amount is an overestimate because it includes deposits from economic stimulus and child tax credits, relief that was subsequently withdrawn since government response with punishment when everybody and everyday people are struggling. Yet, a bipartisan coalition emerged in response to SVB's failure, as is often the case on issues of private finance. Public monies are now being used to protect the bank's depositors, the same tech companies and venture capitalists whose profits rely on everyone else absorbing the risks. In their early comments on social media, Representative Eric Swalwell and Representative Robin Gallego called for honoring all deposits above the FDIC insurance cap, while Senator Mitt Romney warned against contagion. Senator Elizabeth Warren decried lack of regulation and oversight, yet acknowledged SVB's failure as a threat. The mention of contagion and subsequent federal response treat SVB as a systematically important thing. Indeed, there is truth to the concerns that regulations are antiquated and that policymakers are unprepared for the myriad consequences of bank runs in the digital age. One irony of SVB's failure is that the bank lobbied several years ago against regulations that would have imposed the benefits of oversight they now seek to claim. SVB and their depositors are responsible for creating the emergency that resulted in a public bailout and restored wealth for tech companies and venture capitalists who are known for condemning or withholding relief from others. Tech companies exploiting the student debt crisis, for example, fear lost profits if these loans are cancelled. Venture capitalists gave only 1% of their financing to Black women entrepreneurs in 2022, and their negligible investment is declining. If anything, SVB's failure should serve as another reminder for how elite power can marshal resources to ensure the uninterrupted accumulation of wealth vis-a-vis invasive infrastructure, often with the full backing of the federal government. While SVB may have been the backbone of the tech industry, the bank's failure exposes private finance as invasive infrastructure and a spine of settler colonialism. There are other ruptures that expose this truth. Private finance hastens climate destruction by investing in fossil fuels, preserves white wealth by embedding racism into everyday operations, keeps people indebted by selling expensive credit, and funds violent police militarization by underwriting developments like Cop City in Atlanta. According to Euronews, Silicon Valley Bank SVB was hit hard by the downturn in technology stocks over the past year, as well as the Federal Reserve's aggressive plan to increase interest rates to combat inflation. The bank bought billions of dollars worth of bonds over the past couple of years, using customers' deposits as a typical bank would normally operate. These investments are typically safe, but the value of those investments fell because they paid lower interest rates than what a comparable bond would pay if issued in today's higher interest rate environment. Usually that's not an issue because banks hold onto those for a long time unless they have to sell them in an emergency. But SVB's customers were largely startups and other tech-centric companies that started becoming needier for cash over the past year. Venture capital funding was drying up. Companies were not able to get additional rounds of funding for unprofitable businesses and therefore had to tap their existing funds, often deposited with SVB, which sat in the center of the tech startup universe. So SVB customers started withdrawing their deposits. At first, that wasn't a huge issue, but the withdrawals started requiring the bank to start selling its own assets to meet customer withdrawal requests. Because SVB customers were largely businesses and the wealthy, they luckily were more fearful of a bank failure since their deposits were over $250,000 or the U.S. government imposed limit on deposit insurance. That required selling typically safe bonds at a loss, and those losses added up to the point that SVB became effectively insolvent. The bank tried to raise additional capital through outside investors but was unable to find them.
علي حبه جنة وسيم النار والجنة وسي المصطفى حقا إمام الناس والجنة.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the sermon number 76 of Nahjul Balagha. And in this sermon, Imam Ali alayhi salam talks about the importance of good actions, the importance of listening carefully, the importance of many other practical issues that are important for a Muslim to be careful about. It's a very good sermon, very short and but very much in depth, inshallah. And I also would like to express my congratulations and express my welcoming to you as we approach the holy month of Ramadan. These are the final days of Sha'ban, and we are slowly approaching the month of the holy month of Ramadan. The holy month of Sha'ban also is full of blessings, is full of mercy, it's full of prophetic. You can say prophetic states, prophetic mercies that can affect us, prophetic blessings. But of course, now as we approach the month of Ramadan, we ask Allah to forgive us so that when we enter the month of Ramadan, we enter with a lot of purity. And inshallah, these discussions that we are going to have will be geared towards trying to understand our duties in a general sense, at least, especially in the holy month of Ramadan.
Mm. You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Now, the sermon number 76 that Imam Ali alayhi salam has been reported to have mentioned in Nahjul Balagha starts off like this. It says, رحم الله امرأ سمع حكما فوعى. It's talking about the fact that that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mercy on certain individuals. One of them is a person who hears a beautiful statement or a statement of wisdom, a statement of firmness and wisdom, and then he pays in-depth attention to it, fawa'a. And then he talks about other things also. For example, he says, وَدُعِيَ إِلَى رَشَادٍ فَدَنَى, and that he is called towards the truth, and he humbles himself towards it. He doesn't become proud and go away from it. And then he goes on to express different attributes of this type of person who becomes deserving of God's mercy. So what we are going to do, inshallah, slowly and gradually, is that we're going to first understand what it means when we say that Allah has mercy on someone. And what does the mercy of Allah mean? Especially because in these months of Rajab, Sha'ban and Mahir Ramadan, especially the month of Ramadan, we are really, really seeking God's mercy. So we need to understand what this mercy is, and then slowly and gradually understand how this mercy can be earned from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that, inshallah, Allah gives us a good position in paradise next to Him. So he starts off with a dua saying, Rahim Allah. May Allah have mercy on this particular person who has, for example, attributes number 1, number 2, number 3, number 4, number 5. He mentions all these different attributes of a person who deserves the mercy of God. So if I just quickly go through what he says, is that the first one I already mentioned is a person who really pays attention to words of wisdom and tries to listen to them carefully. That was the first thing that we mentioned.
IRIB English Radio presents a detailed commentary of the Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him, on the program Gate of Knowledge.
Now, the second thing that Imam Ali alayhi salam mentions, he says, وَدُعِيَ إِلَى رَشَادٍ فَدَنَى, and may Allah have mercy on that person who, when he hears words, or he's called towards guidance, towards spiritual growth, that person, he humbles himself, he accepts it, he doesn't become proud and leave it. And then he says, وَأَخَذَ بِحُجْزَتِ هَادٍ فَنَجَى, and he gets hold of that person, rather he pleads to get hold of that person who is trying to guide him so that he becomes saved. So he doesn't leave the hand of the one who guides him. He gets hold of his hand and he says, please take me to my destination and become successful because of that. Then he says, رَاقَبَ رَبَّهُ وَخَافَ ذَنْبَهُ رَاقَبَ رَبَّهُ وَخَافَ ذَنْبَهُ. رَاقَبَ رَبَّهُ means that he is careful about the duties of his Lord, about everything to do with his Lord. رَاقَبَ رَبَّهُ. He makes sure that whatever he does, whatever he thinks, whatever he feels, whatever he, for example, has in his heart, is in accordance to what his Lord has told him. وَخَافَ ذَنْبَهُ. And he is fearful of his sins. قَدَّمَ خَالِصًا وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. Is that he treads, when he goes ahead, he goes ahead with sincerity. وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. And he performs deeds in a good way, in the most beautiful way, in the best way, in the most balanced way. اِكْتَسَبَ مَذْخُورًا وَاجْتَنَبَ مَحْذُورًا. This person also, he is such that he earns that which is going to be saved for him for the hereafter. اِكْتَسَبَ مَذْخُورًا وَاجْتَنَبَ مَحْذُورًا. And he stays away from those actions that are sins, those that will make him not be able to go ahead in the hereafter. So you notice that this beautiful sermon, how it is preparing someone to perform good deeds and to be sincere, and of course to do all those things that will earn him the mercy of Allah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom, on the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio.
قال النبي محمد من كنت مولاه هذا علي سيد فاز من ولاه هو بالكتاب مسدد والنور معناه باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من ناداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال مناه هو في الشدائد منجد والفضل يمناه هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي رباه.
In locksteps with spring, the season of renewal and freshness, and the greening of nature, we here at IRIB English Radio wish you happiness, prosperity, and good health.
French police clashed with demonstrators as thousands of people marched throughout the country amid anger at the government pushing through a rise in the state pension age without a parliamentary vote. The growing unrest and strikes have left President Emmanuel Macron facing the gravest challenge to his authority since the so-called Gilet de Jaune, Yellow Vest protests 4 years ago. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. Truthout wrote in this regard, protests in Paris and across France have ramped up since President Emmanuel Macron's government used a controversial constitutional measure to force through a pension reform plan without a National Assembly vote. Fears that the Senate-approved measure, which would raise the retirement age from 62 to 64, did not have enough support to pass the lower house of parliament led to a council of ministers meeting during which Macron reportedly said that my political interest would have been to submit to a vote, but I consider that the financial economic risks are too great at this stage. After the meeting, French Prime Minister Elisabeth Borne announced a decision to go with the nuclear option, invoking Article 49.3 of the French Constitution, a calculated risk considering the potential for a resulting motion of no confidence. Members of Parliament opposed to the overhaul filed a pair of no-confidence motions recently, and votes are expected. Although unlikely given the current makeup of the legislature, passing such a motion would not only reject the looming pension law, but also oust Macron's prime minister and cabinet, and likely lead to early elections in France. As Deutsche Welle reported, the head of the so-called LIOT group, Bernard Pancher, whose motion was co-signed by members of the broad left-wing NUPS coalition, said the vote on this motion will allow us to get out on top of a deep political crisis in France. The far-right national rally RN filed a second motion, but that was expected to get less backing. RN lawmaker Laure Lavitt, however, said her party would vote for all no-confidence motions filed. What counts is scuppering this unfair reform bill, she said. Leaders of the Les Républicains, LR, are not sponsoring any such motions. Reuters explained that individuals in the Conservative Party have said they could break ranks, but the no-confidence bill would require all of the other opposition lawmakers and half of LR61 lawmakers to go through, which is a tall order. Still, Green MP Julien Bayo said it's maybe the first time that a motion of no confidence may overthrow the government. Meanwhile, protests against the pension proposal, which have been happening throughout the year, continue in the streets, with some drawing comparisons to France's Yellow Vest movement, sparked by fuel prices and economic conditions in 2018. Also, Deutsche Welle detailed there were the usual suspects like leftist firebrand Jean-Luc Mélenchon thundering against a reform he said had no legitimacy, neither in parliament nor in the street. Unionists were also out in strength, hailing a moral victory even as they denounced Macron's violation of democracy. Many more were ordinary protesters who had flocked to the Concorde after class or work. One brandished a giant fork made of cardboard as the crowd chanted, "Macron démission" or "Macron resign." Another spray-painted an ominous message on a metal barrier was, "The shadow of the guillotine is nearing," in the exact spot where Louis was executed 230 years ago. Police used tear gas to disperse the Concorde crowd. Interior Minister Gerald Darmanin told RTL Radio 310 people were arrested nationwide, 258 of them in Paris. He said, "The opposition is legitimate. The protests are legitimate, but wreaking havoc is not." Anna Nevia Cardant is a 23-year-old student whose parents, a bricklayer and a cleaner, are among those who stand to lose most. A vote in the National Assembly was the government's only chance of securing a measure of legitimacy for its reform, Nevia Cardant told France 24 as police cleared the crowd, adding, "Now it has a full-blown crisis on its hands." She said, This reform is outrageous, punishing women and the working class and denying the hardship of those who have the toughest jobs. Across the French capital, traffic, garbage collection, and university campuses in the city were disrupted as unions threatened open-ended strikes, Deutsche Welle noted, adding elsewhere in the country, striking sanitation workers blocked the waste collection plant that is home to Europe's largest incinerator to underline their determination. Article 49.3 constitutes a triple defeat for the executive, popular, political and moral, declared Laurent Esquer, Secretary General of the Labour Union, UNSA, adding it opens up a new stage for the protest. The French newspaper Le Monde reported that the leaders of France's eight main labour unions called for local union rallies for a big day of strikes and demonstrations. Felipe Martinez of the CGT union asserted that this forced passage with the use of Article 49.3 must be met with a response in line with this show of contempt toward the people. Fellow CGT representative Regis Viselli vowed that we are not going to stop, telling the Associated Press that flooding the streets and refusing to work is the only way that we will get them to back down.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for follow your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day and here at IRIB English Radio, we would like to offer our congratulations to our esteemed listeners all over the world, especially our Persian-speaking listeners in Iran, in Afghanistan, in Tajikistan, and also other people all over the world who celebrate the festival of Nowruz. Because today marks the commemoration of the day of Nowruz, a very special day, the first day of spring also, and it's a very blessed day. Sometimes some people ask, you know, because this is a festival that kind of predates the advent of Islam, so a lot of people question whether there is any basis to this Eid, to this festival within Islam or not. We have a lot of hadiths regarding this day. One of the hadiths regarding Nowruz, we would like to recite for our esteemed listeners today. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam said the following to al-Mu'alla ibn Khunais, one of the transmitters of hadith. This person, he came to visit the Imam on the day of Nowruz, and especially because it was the day of Nowruz, the Imam asked him, "Do you know what this day is?" To which he replied, "May I be your ransom? This is a day to which the Persians attach great importance and in which they give each other gifts." So Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam said, "By the ancient house in Mecca," meaning the Imam, he swore by the Kaaba, "that is only because of a much older reason, which I will explain to you so that you may understand." In continuation, the Imam said, "O Mu'alla, verily the day of Nowruz," the Imam called it Nowruz, not Nowruz, "the day of Nowruz is the day when Allah took the servants' covenants from them, that they would worship him and that they would not associate anything with him." It's ironic. The Imam says that this is a reference to the Ahd al-Ast, as they call it, when God took the progeny of Adam out from his loins and made them witness and testify to God's oneness and their servanthood. The Imam says this event that happened in almost pre-eternity, this happened on the day of Nowruz, when Allah took the servants' covenants from them that they would worship him and that they would not associate anything with him, and that they would believe in his prophets and his divine proofs, and that they would believe in the Imams alayhi salam. This is also the day when the sun rose for the first time, a celestial event. Every day of Nowruz is a day when we await the relief, the coming of the awaited Savior. For verily, it is one of our special days and one of the days of our Shia. The Persians have kept its significance where you have lost it. This is the first day of the Persians' new year, and they have managed to stay alive since, having been only 30,000 in number. The pouring of water on the day of Nowruz has become a practice. And then the Imam continues and mentions many other things regarding this festival. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the festival of Nowruz in the words of Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.